You're back now, but it keeps
Okay. Keeps
cutting you
cutting.
off. Like, yeah, cut you off again.
That's weird.
Yeah.
See.
Is everybody else hearing that?
Yep. Everything. So,
does that
find a meep.
Shut up.
This is going to be a problem.
Is it still?
Yep. Hey there! Welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, gamertag JDevil. It is Thursday, October 27, 2011, and joining me this evening, we've got Josh Lee.
Hello!
Justin Gifford.
Howdy, howdy.
And JP LaFrance.
Hey, hey, hey!
Alright, tonight we are gathered to get a little bit Halloweenified as far as having another one of our five fights where everybody lists off five things, and the topic tonight is video game villains that you want to play as. So the I want to be video game villains. And so we'll go through all of our lists and then try to come up with an overall top five for our group this evening, as well as recap a few community contributions. But before we do that, we dive into our game industry shout-outs where everybody points out some sort of news headline or happening in the industry, and then we move on to our on-the-spot question to get warmed up, our top five discussion, and then wrap things up with HorribleNight.com updates and take a little bit of a break and come back for Threesomes of the Week, where we get a little bit off-topic and list off three types of media that have had our attention in the past week. So let's get to know JP a little bit. JP, we always start off with your first gaming memory.
Well, excuse me. My first memory is, I've talked about this on the site a couple times, is when we got our Nintendo, I think I was 8 when we got it, and I was the most excited out of my siblings. I'm the youngest in my family, and I remember my mom got really pissed because I beat Mario in like 2 weeks. So we went and picked up a new game, and I wanted to get like Spy vs. Spy or something really stupid like that. And she talked me into getting Zelda because it had, you know, more screens that I could navigate through, and it's all kind of been downhill from there. So that kind of really brought me in, if you will. So
that's not a bad intro. Like, if you can't go, Zelda was, no, I guess, well, I can't imagine my parents like understanding Zelda enough to pitch it to me, I guess.
Mom's
well,
the best.
Well, it wasn't that she knew that there was more screens. She just said it looked like there was more screens. I mean, because I think the box talked about how it was long, and so I think that that's what she was going off of. Oh, so.
It fair wasn't enough. There a hole in the front of the box that, so you could see the gold cartridge underneath?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like I think
door,
you're right.
Remember, like a Velcro door type of.
Yeah, I think that's. I'm pretty sure that's why your mom picked that one.
She's trying to get the most for her money and. Buying video games for little kids, you never know.
And well, so, you couldn't trade in back then, so maybe you could turn and, you know, go to cash for gold after you're done with it.
I'm impressed by your mom, JP. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm sure she would be glad to hear that, even though she's hated to buy me games ever since.
Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time at the video store on the weekends.
And then we dive into the origin of your gamer tag, JPizzle151.
Okay, well, My real life gamer tag, as Justin likes to call it, is JP LaFrance. And so when I started dating my now wife, she nicknamed me J Pizzle because that was kind of when Snoop Dogg had that little resurgence in the mid 2000s. And so when I got my Xbox and went to make a name, that just J Pizzle was taken. So the 151 I brought in because I sold, I was a wholesale alcohol salesman at the time. So I did 151. For Bacardi 151, because that was one of the things I sold.
Nice. And how long until Dr. J Pizzle is officially your gamer tag?
You know, I almost did it when there was that sale not too long ago, and then my wife talked me out of it because she thought it was dumb. But I still don't think it's dumb. I mean, Dr. Mario is my Twitter avatar after all.
I like Dr. J Pizzle. And we can raise some funds if that's an issue, I'm sure.
If we can, what is it, only like $10 or something like that?
Something like that.
If the community is willing to pay for that, I'm all for it.
I'm trying to think of the ridiculous competition we could have where like people donate like a dime at a time until we get $10 for you having to, I don't know, play something you hate.
I would be willing to play something that I hate, or people, if it's worth enough money, I'll play whatever they want me to.
I'll pay for the whole thing if you bookend your tag with X's.
Oh.
No, we're not doing that.
Yuck.
I'm not 13.
But everyone will assume that.
Why not Z's? Why do they bookend them with X's and not Z's or V's?
You know what? I got a better idea. Let's just bookend it with an algebraic equation.
Whoa.
That's deep.
Whoa.
So let's get rolling with our game industry shout-outs, starting with Josh.
I think this was just today. Big shout out to Wadget Eye Games, who made, and I've talked about this on the show before, Gemini Rue. It's a old school styled point and click adventure, with some like real throwback graphics too. Just got released on Steam today. This is a big deal for, he was selling it, directly from his website. This is one man operation that this guy's made, at least as far as I know. He's made, I don't know, probably five or six other games that I've seen on his website, other adventure games using the Adventure Game Studios thing, but really well made stuff. And I loved this game from start to finish. I don't finish a ton of games these days, so beating that one in basically one go is saying a lot. And if you're a fan of, you know, those old LucasArts and Sierra games, or Blade Runner, or Cowboy Bebop, any of that stuff, then you should definitely check it out. It's on sale right now for $8.50, and this probably means, hopefully at least for him, that he's going to get some of his back catalog on Steam as well.
How's he been selling it before this?
Just directly from his site.
Okay. Yeah, I always wondered, like, developers' roots, like, why some of them are on Steam and some of them aren't versus, I don't know, I was checking out that Indievania site that popped up a couple months ago that allows them to sell them directly without anybody taking a cut, and just the differences of, you know, why you are and aren't on Steam. And
believe it or not, Valve does not disallow anybody to put their games on Steam. They do get very picky. You wouldn't always know that by looking at
the game. No, I didn't know that at all, actually.
Yeah, so he'd been trying for a while.
Interesting, because
finally got on there.
Because Xbox Live Arcade gets kind of scrutinized for that, and Steam always seemed to be I almost just assumed anybody could put it up there. It's just a matter of what gets promoted. So
that's not the case. But you know, they put a whole lot more games up there and promote more games than Microsoft ever has. But I think they probably have some sort of what they figure quality standards, and then what they think is going to be minimum sales as well. Gotcha. But like with this guy, this Gemini Roof, it actually got reviews on a lot of major websites and reviewed very well.
Are you saying that we're not a major website?
You know what? Maybe I should do a review of that.
Ow. There you go.
We're huge in Japan.
No, it's China. It's actually China.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are downloading our podcasts incessantly.
Yeah, didn't follow that because, you know, the average height in...
What?
I got it, Gifford, don't worry.
Thanks, JP.
I have a shirt with a sumo wrestler on it that says I'm big in Japan, so I completely got it.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Justin Gifford, what about your shout-out?
I don't want to talk about it. No, wait, I do. So Rockstar announced GTA 5 is coming out at some point, but they decided to announce it yesterday, October 25th, which was the 3-year anniversary for Jack Thompson's permanent disbarment from the Florida State Bar, which is hysterical. My shout out is to Rockstar for being funny and reminding me that you can get disbarred for doing stupid shit, even if it has to do with video games. So it was pretty awesome. And Jack Thompson, happy trails, pal.
No kidding.
Way to put a positive spin on an announcement for an announcement, which we all hate so much.
Hey, at least he's no longer in the news, except for being able to point and laugh at him now. So, well put.
So when are we getting that trailer?
Tuesday.
November 2nd, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Wednesday.
It better show gameplay, or I'm going to be pissed.
It better be Sam and Andreas, or I'm going to be pissed.
Session.
I think you're both going to be pissed.
Why, do you think they're going to Tokyo?
I didn't say that. No, I've heard LA, so whether or not they redo San Andreas, but who knows?
They need to change it up.
You know it's just going to be a story trailer, though, Josh. It's not going to be a hardcore gameplay.
In-engine, though, at least, you know, something.
Most of them are. They
show it. Yeah, that's the thing. Yes, but
you want to see the engine. Okay.
Yeah, these days, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I don't trust anyone.
I bet it looks a little bit better than Red Dead Redemption, if I had to guess.
I want to see something crazy. You know what? They can't top the Saints Row stuff, you know?
Like, they don't need to.
I don't know what they do. Are in competition, though.
I don't either.
You know what?
They're different.
Okay. You know, you can say that.
I do.
But you and anybody else that agrees with you are aligned yourselves, because I think that series has always been about the gameplay purely. It's about getting in and screwing around.
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah.
I think they kind of started losing touch with that, honestly.
I would agree with that too, because when you took all those RPG elements from San Andreas and left them out of 4, you completely took that away, because I spent so much time working out and doing gang wars during San Andreas, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I enjoyed dicking off considerably less in 4 than I did any of the others.
Yeah, and I think they're still headed that direction, but
yeah,
because. You know, it's not a swipe at Red Dead Redemption, but I never really felt the urge to dick off in that game. And it just the way that they kind of construct their stories, I'm not as motivated to mess around. And that's why, to me, games like Saints Row and Just Cause exist, so I can just go cause chaos and be ridiculous. And but Grand Theft Auto did start all of that, so it'll be. You know, they can always surprise us. So
yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get it anyway.
That's true.
To be fair, I'm gonna get it anyway. And I spent a lot of time wandering around the Old West, just killing animals.
That's fun. I like skinning animals.
Let me do the story mode, the entire story in co-op in GTA 5, and I'll be there on day one.
Interesting request. Co-op would be a big step forward for them, actually.
Make it a story about two brothers.
Well, I think you're onto something.
How about four brothers against an alien locust army?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Oh, I thought you were going to mention that bad, four brothers movie that had, Matt Damon in it.
No.
Go to Boston and let's just make this movie into a game.
How about Grand Theft Auto V starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck?
Ugh. And Jay and Silent Bob.
But it's co-op. Oh, it's co-op. I'm trying to deter Josh Lee from his statement. All right, let's move on to JP's shout-out.
I want to give a shout-out to Adult Swim Games. I'm still riding the high of Monsters Ate My Condo. If you didn't read my review, you should, because that game is awesome. They just put out a new game called Bring Me Sandwiches, which I just downloaded. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet, but it looks like that basically... The president brings you in, you're a little chef, and you have to feed this giant blob-like monster sandwiches to save the world. So
the president brings you in? Is that what
you
said?
Well, the first screen when it's trying to do controls is like you're talking to a Secret Service agent. So that's what I would assume.
See, nice. I thought that was an imperative in our show notes. It says bring me sandwiches, folks. So I thought it was an imperative, and I was like, no. I'm eating my own sandwich. Find your own, JP.
It didn't have comma bitch on this end of the sentence.
That really should have given it away.
Or the link. How about that, Gifford?
Could have been just a link to a sandwich.
I've been putting a floor down all afternoon. Leave me alone.
And how's that my problem?
That's a fair point.
We're just bickering. This is going to be a good five fight, I think. My shout out actually goes to Blizzard for one, for making me interested in BlizzCon, because I thought it was going to be an off year. But I kind of did this, I did a little write up earlier in the week on it. But the news that really kind of stuck out to me from a humorous standpoint was the fact that they announced Blizzard Dota, and they're calling it Blizzard Dota, and I don't know, all that stuff with Valve kind of taking that name and making Dota 2. And I don't know, I love the competition between Blizzard and Valve now. And also the Blizzard Dota trailer was actually pretty funny. Like, they were kind of making fun of the genre, but I think they know that they have to have a horse in that race of for the battle arena games. And I'm actually more interested in Blizzard Dota, since it's gonna, well, we know they're probably both gonna be free, but it's using Blizzard heroes and Blizzard characters, so
from all their games, not just fantasy stuff. The maps they were showing looked like they came right out of StarCraft. The characters were from WoW and Diablo and StarCraft. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, the announcer or like the voiceover on it was just basically saying, just setting up the dumb plot point of some sort of time rift happened, and it's brought together all the universes of Blizzard into one place where all the heroes can do battle. And
I'm playing as Kerrigan.
Here you go. And I don't know if I'll actually play these games, but I got a kick out of the announcement. So, and
we need one more company to enter the Dota race, like with the name Dota.
That's
like EA needs to jump in and just come out with Dota, Dota, Dota.
No, EA just needs to stop, is what they need to do.
No, it's got. Let's just crank up the absurdity.
I can see
absurdity.
EA doing it. No, like, okay, so, Josh, you might know this. I know Dota 2 is attached to one of the...
Ice Frog.
Yeah, one of the...
Ice Frog?
Yeah.
But they're not... That's not the entire team that made the original Dota, is that right?
Like, no, I don't know if the original team even exists anymore. I'm not sure. It's a pretty convoluted
kind of
story.
Yeah.
But Ice Frog was like the custodian of the Dota, you know, game or mod for some period of time there. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Valve hired him.
But where did Riot Games, the League of Legends guys come from?
Oh yeah. That's another guy? Different guy?
Yeah.
Oh god, I don't know.
I don't know why I'm so fascinated by a game that I won't play. Like, I'm scared to death to play League of Legends, so in any of these games. So, but
Defense of the Ancients wasn't even the first game with the MOBA style. That's just the one that really took off.
Gotcha.
It came from a different one, but I mean, I think that, you know, it's like a community mod, and especially at the time, I think there just were so many hands in it that you can't probably properly
pick
credit
an owner,
one
right.
person.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense, but the fact that two companies are now fighting over that name is kind of funny. But I think, and in the end, it just makes me want to play Warcraft 3. I've decided. So let's move on to our on the spot question, and this is actually related to the big release of the week, Battlefield 3, and just in general, could EA screw up the Battlefield 3 launch anymore? Let's kind of run down the issues that we know about. Josh, you can kind of help me out here. I'm sure I'll forget something. But the big thing was, I think the day after, like on Tuesday, the Xbox 360 servers were having a lot of issues and people couldn't play. On the PS3 side, they made a big deal that people that pre-ordered Battlefield 3 would get Battlefield 1943 for free. And they kind of reneged on that and are now giving them free DLC instead, which...
No, they're not.
What are they giving?
They're offering the chance to buy the DLC before the other platforms.
Oh, what a deal.
That is not a worthy substitution.
And then there weren't reviews of this game ahead of time, which always is an interesting sign. Sounds like the multiplayer is pretty solid, but the consensus around the single player is that it's kind of pointless and it's about 4 hours long, and you know, say what you will about the Call of Duty single player experiences, but they do at least go to some theatrical lengths there, and it sounds like they didn't really put any much into the single player, which is kind of disappointing to people like me, but that's not the point of Battlefield, I guess. Is there anything else I'm missing? PC was having issues on Wednesday, connection issues, and then
there was the install, not install thing too.
Oh yeah, I had this issue where with the console you have to install the HD Res Pack,
and you don't have on. To.
Well, you don't have to, but if you want the full experience, you should.
Yeah.
But like, it's on the multiplayer disc, and when I tried to download it from just the multiplayer disc, it would go for maybe 2 minutes, and then it would kick it out and say, "Hey, you want to download this?" Huh. So to get it to work, I had to put in the single player disc, and then it had to prompt me to switch the two discs and go back to the single player disc.
Hmm.
So I thought that was a little strange.
Anyway, it's just I keep finding myself switching to actually answering the question: could they screw up anymore? Like, I don't know why I'm rooting for EA, but I in this battle against Call of Duty, I suppose I am, but. They keep screwing up every little step of the way. Their marketing campaign, I spoke a little bit last week, was kind of started to annoy me by the end, and just trying to go head to head with Call of Duty, and then kind of, I don't know, you can't mess up the launch and the server stability that first week. Like this is the time to get people hooked, and it just seemed to be problem after problem. And I know not every launch goes perfect, but this was a big deal to them, and they needed to better prepare for it.
Well, I was going to say, I think the server issues on 360 help Call of Duty justify their no dedicated servers on consoles.
Hmm. I didn't even think about that.
Well, I think there's like an issue here too that, I feel really bad for DICE.
Yeah.
Because the developers, you know, the guys are actually like, there's the guys that are making the game, and then there's like the publishing team, you know, and the game itself is really solid. It's really good and I've been playing on the PC. It's been silky smooth. I've had no crashes, no weird anything. Once I actually got the game, you know, loaded and launched and figured out the terrible browser interface and Battlelog and stuff. So it was, you know, the game itself is good. I think that's my opinion, but.
It just sounds like
everything else that's wrapped around the game, you know, that's EA's department,
right,
has just seemed kind of either it was just a bad idea or it was a little bit screwy. And it's like you don't give anyone any ammo, you know, to like because they were talking so much trash.
Yeah.
Like straight up, like it was like product managers, the CEO or whatever, just like talking trash to the executives of Activision, and Activision was kind of taking the high road, and EA just keeps throwing it back.
Yep.
Some of the statements were just really outrageous, you know, and then problems.
And then to not bring the goods. Like, the core game sounds like it's great, and I think you nailed it as far as DICE put together a hell of a shooting engine and a hell of a shooting experience, and but they make to get yeah, there's so much work to just get to that part of just enjoying what the game is, and I guess that's what surprises me. It's like if you're gonna go at Call of Duty and then kind of half-ass certain aspects of it, and it was just really surprising because I feel like I kind of bought into all the marketing last year for Medal of Honor, and it was a disappointment. I was like, well, there's no way they'll do that with Battlefield 3, but they still kind of messed up in the same ways. I think it was really surprising because they had a chance, and they just seemed to trip over themselves at every moment. So
what was their excuse for not getting the game to reviewers in time for launch? That to me was like one of those just terrible decisions.
It's a big flag.
Have they said?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Sounded to me more like one of the like a review ban. I mean, I don't know if it was, but
a review ban. What do you mean?
I mean, normally that happens when you think your game is not gonna, you know, score real well.
But like, yeah, look at the big great reviewed games so far. They've all been kind of coming out about a week early. Batman, Gears of War, and you see Uncharted 3's reviews are already out, but Battlefield, you couldn't find them. And I mean, I'm sure they put that embargo up. I wonder if they even got the copies to them early, but that, you know, it's just, it's weird for them to be.
No, they didn't, as far as I've seen.
It was just weird that they were so cocky but not confident. You know what I mean? that's how it strikes me.
Yeah. You know what else they did wrong?
What else did they do wrong?
They teased Medal of Honor.
Yeah. Who gives a shit?
I really liked that back in the day. It was a good series.
Well, that's
yeah, but great. It was also single developed player by... Yeah,
Medal of Honor became Call of Duty, so...
Right. So, of course, it was good.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, but it had a single-player campaign worth playing.
Well, that's how... True. But that's how Call of Duty started. Like...
I know. I just miss being able to play a straight-up military shooter in a campaign.
I do, too. I do, too. But, and it seems like that's what they tried to promise with Medal of Honor, and... Yeah, I don't know. EA just... I don't know. They need a reality check. Like, I say all this, I want to root for them. Like, I want EA and Activision to continue to do battle, and I actually want EA to get back on top and Activision have to redo their game and, you know, them keep duking it out. I think that's good for the industry, but man, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to watch from the outside, I guess.
I want to know, I'm interested to see what we're talking about this time next year as far as EA goes. After Star Wars has had its launch,
ooh, yeah.
You know, and they're not pushing the Mass Effect, you know, hype train.
It'll be another, like, I don't know exactly what to call it with, you know, since EA has sort of become a developer house or developer holding company, but it'll be something from one of their developers. It won't be an EA done thing.
That'll be a good thing though.
Well, I mean, just mean financially. You know, and how they're who gets shuffled around at the top of the food chain inside EA.
Yeah, Rick Catella has a lot to lose with Battlefield 3 and Star Wars. So if
Star Wars looks stupid, and I love Star Wars,
I'm sure we could go on about EA for quite a while, but let's get into our villains discussion. So. I was trying to think of a villains topic related to Halloween, and first, you guys are lucky. My original idea was to come up with villains that you want to dress up as, but instead, I took it the video game route, and so
my list stays the same.
You're kicking us off because I'm looking at your first one, and that made me laugh. Anyway, so our top five, top 3 to 5, I want to be video game villains. And so we'll go through these, each of our lists, and kind of talk about the why we chose those, why we want to be those villains, and we'll kind of berate each other to see if it's a good idea, and then look at our community recommendations and come back and formalize an overall top five for the night. So yeah, let's we're gonna start with Josh because that's what I was looking at. Sorry, JP.
That's okay.
Because
skipped.
Yeah. So we're going to start with Josh's list, and keep in mind, I was picturing JP dressed up as your first one.
You know what? Sometimes when I make these lists, I, whatever reasons I came up with them, you know, to begin with, this is why I make notes. Because I was trying to think of, and just qualifiers here. You put this topic up, and I'm thinking, like, well, is this supposed to be, like, the most successful video game villains? It's like, why would I want to be bad guy? It's not really – I never play the bad guy, and the games give me the choice, you know?
Yeah.
But you got to look at the bright side of and what each person brings to the table. They're people, too. So yeah. I went with my first choice was Don Flamenco from Punch-Out. I have notes here that say ladies man, dancer, Spaniard, seems like a nice guy, and I always felt bad beating him up.
Out of all the Out of all the characters, he's the one you feel bad about beating up.
Yeah, I always felt bad for him because he didn't really seem like the kind of guy that should be in a boxing ring.
It's true. I was about to say that.
Yeah, you know, like Glass Joe, you think like that guy, he's just kind of washed up. Maybe at one point was he a contender? I don't know, but maybe, you know,
he could have been like a contender.
Yeah, junior circuit kind of, you know, had some success. Don Flamenco just seems like somebody just paid for him to get in the ring. You know, this was like some kind of dirty money, dirty euro, you know, exchange going on. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind being Don Flamenco because I know when he gets out of the ring, he's a stud.
Like Antonio Banderas?
Yeah, a lot like him. He kind of looks like Antonio. Well, an older, thinner, more kind of washed up Antonio Banderas. But
I think he looks like he's just gotten his ass kicked a lot.
Yeah, well, did you play Punch-Out? How long did it take you to beat him?
Not very long, Josh.
He never got out of the first round. Never got out of the first round. So, yeah, Don Flamenco.
That's hilarious. You're going a different route than I am going to go. Just I wanted to throw this out there for food for thought as we get rolling here. But mine was more of like playing a video game as them. Like, what would their game be like? But I like your take into reality of you really just want to be Don Flamenco outside of the ring.
Yeah, yeah. I think I did this with Leisure Suit Larry for one of our Who Do You Want to Be game characters once, but. So there's some kind of pattern here, probably.
Here, let me mix this up. Let's just go around the table. We'll do one at a time. And so let's go to JP's first one.
My first one is Dr. Wily, because, I mean, the guy's freaking, he's really smart. He can make all these crazy robots, but for some reason he can't seem to stop one little robot. But that's neither here nor there. And he's got crazy hair, so that's another thing that makes him really cool.
And crazy eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, because if you're going to be an old crazy doctor with crazy hair, you have to have, like, really bushy gray eyebrows to go with it, too.
Lightning bolt eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Doc Brown meets Albert Einstein.
Meets somebody plus crazy. Plus evil. Yeah.
Well, yeah, plus, like, Dr. Frankenstein or something. But
I mean, the
Gene
dude
Wilder is Dr. Frankenstein.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Let's also remember that he made a huge robotic dragon, too, so.
Fuck that dragon.
What do you mean?
I mean that. Fuck that dragon.
No, getting to the dragon was harder than the actual dragon.
I know, but he still scares the shit
out of me. Not if you don't know which block to stand on.
The top one, and then you use quick boomerangs, and it's done.
The question is,
I never got that far.
Should Dr. Wily be commended for his robot-making abilities or his abilities to create stages around his robots that are much more difficult?
Or I think it's a little bit of both.
Well, what'd you say, Gavin?
Said, or his eyebrows.
Yeah. Like, I was just thinking that with the dragon. The dragon isn't that hard. It's the fact that you're having to negotiate those blocks while he's chasing you down. But
like a human couldn't navigate those levels.
Batman could.
No, he couldn't. Batman couldn't hold his breath underwater long enough to get through the Bubble Man level.
These are good points.
And think about the elevation of Airman's level.
Have gadgets. He has the bat plane.
We'll have a Batman episode at some point. As far as Dr. Wily goes, what do you kind of picture his game like though? If you played as Dr. Wily.
Well, see, I kind of took it as Josh did, where it's like I would like to be this guy.
Okay, then talk me through a day in the life of JP as Dr. Wily.
Well, it's probably pretty lonely because I mean. The only person he surrounds himself with is robots. So I'm sure that a lot of these robots were built for companionship, and then it just all kind of went downhill from then, you know?
Dude, if you can make combat robots, JP, think about it. You can make other kinds of robots.
You have to be able to. Oh! Okay, now we're talking.
Let's think about when I played this game. I was a lot younger and didn't think of things in that manner, so yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
I want to kind of build off of this idea because you stole my Dr. Wily. So I also had the idea of just being one of the robot masters. Like, I feel like if they had a little bit better AI, each master could actually dominate the world. So I'd like to have a Mega Man game where you play as one of the robot masters and you're either building your stage to stop Mega Man, or you have more direct control of your battle with Mega Man. So, you know, how many Robot Masters at this point has Mega Man destroyed?
Like 100 or something.
Jeez. I was writing my pitched article for the Mega Man movie, and I was just thinking, I was like, how many Robot Masters are there? And like, just in the, if you said there's an average, I know there's more than this, but if there's an average of 6 per game and there's 10 regular Mega Man games, there's at least 60 off the bat, and that's not even the X series or any other spinoff. So it's kind of crazy. And
you could do this. You could be successful too. And there's, you have to do one thing. You have to call a meeting of all the other Robot Masters, and you need to get together and say, okay, now everybody, what is your weapon? Like, what does it do?
I know how
to not be weak to that thing. Yeah. And like, because that's always the thing. So if you're aware of everyone else's power, then you're not going to have a weakness anymore.
Also reminds me, there's a really funny YouTube video out there of Dr. Wily just like talking to his robots about like, can we for once? Oh no, he's talking to his like minions that are building the robots. He's like, when the robots die, do they have to drop things that are helpful to Mega Man? can we not do that? I just think it'd be, I don't know. I kept going back to the, is it Dungeon Keeper? Is that the game? Dungeon Master? Not Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Keeper, you build a dungeon.
Yeah, just like where you are, I want to construct my Airman stage my way and try to shut down Mega Man. And I think that would be cool.
So if you had to pick one of the Robot Masters, which one would it be?
Metal Man, because I picked on him the most, and I love his saw blades.
His saw blades are pretty sweet.
And I feel like with some training, he could be a badass. So.
Make your whole stage out of like really thin plywood.
Make it so.
No, that would have been Woodman.
Make a stage that you can't actually jump through.
Well, yeah. Just make no no platforms. Yeah. Stop putting timers. Like putting timers. Like make random timers on the platforms, because Mega Man can always see your patterns. Quit programming everything with like really simple patterns.
God.
Man, Robot Masters, they're so close to victory. I'm with you on this one.
Awesome. Let's go to Giffords.
Man. My first one is Zeus from the God of War series. Because he's a god. I mean, that really kind of spells it out right there. I mean, he does get killed. But also, he kind of gets around. So, assuming that I got to be a god, I clearly wouldn't. I'd be married to my sister, which is creepy. But nonetheless, Zeus would be my number one. Like, he's a bad guy, but he's also, you know, to quote Samuel L. Jackson, not, hey, Zeus, do I look Puerto Rican to you? Zeus, the Greek god, don't fuck with me or I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
So are you going with the Zeus in real life angle or the Zeus video game angle?
Well, either one. He's Zeus.
Actually, I mean, no. Wouldn't the Zeus game just be a sim? Like, would it just be Sim Rome?
It would be the old. Okay. Oh my god.
It'd be black and white.
Cityville?
Zeus is Greek. but no, it'd sort of be, I guess, sort of like Populous plus Leisure Suit Larry. Like, oh, I don't like that guy. And so it'd be like the ultimate sandbox. Like, you just throw a lightning bolt and, I don't know, wipe Los Angeles off the map, except for all the hot chicks. And then you go do your Zeus thing, because, you know, like half the heroes in the Iliad are offspring of Zeus.
Well, that'd be actually kind of fun if you could, the Zeus game where you basically just fuck with all the other Greek mythology stories. Like,
or dating sim.
With your sisters?
Sure. I think they already have those in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's also got all the, you know, naiads and dryads and nymphs and, you know.
He's got a pretty good, you're right.
He's got a harem.
If it's got a hole, Zeus will find a place for his lightning bolt.
I didn't know how you were going to wrap that one up, but let's go.
Apparently Zeus doesn't wrap it up.
Jeez. let's go to Josh's second one.
Well, this is not really fair because a Big Boss from the Metal Gear series. You've already played as Big Boss.
First I read that as Big Boss Man. But yeah. Anyway, let's keep it non-wrestling.
Do you want to talk about Royal Rumble for the Super Nintendo?
So which Big Boss then? You played as Big Boss, but like where's...
Snake Eater Big Boss.
Okay.
Okay, that's who I'd want to be.
Okay.
But he eventually becomes a villain, as we know from the first Metal Gear game. But he's one of those guys that, like, he becomes a villain out of almost necessity because of the way, how strongly he feels about his anti, you know, establishment sort of.
Terrorism.
You know, yeah, yes, but and then he turns right around and he develops his own country, and he becomes his own, well, his own boss, and I really like that. He's just a soldier, you know, and he comes from like nothing, and he builds an empire. He was much more successful though than say Tony Montana, so. You know, I really he's also cool. He's got an eye patch. He saved the world.
Kind of mean mustache, right?
And he's got he gets a mustache eventually. And he hooks up with a hottie in Metal Gear Solid 3. I don't know about Peace Walker yet, but
would you take Don Flamenco's off screen life or Big Boss's off screen life?
Well, Don Flamenco is just way more laid back. The stress of, like, nobody, like, being in charge
being the boss.
Sounds good, but, man, it's just a lot of work. And just the Big Boss has, like, the ultimate job. He has so many guys working under him. Just, you don't want that kind of pressure.
A bunch of many bosses.
And then your own clone, like, basically your son, he's coming after you, trying to kill you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got, like, the ultimate soldier chasing after you, like that's not good for your mental health.
Yeah, what kind of demons, you know, must you have when you're like basically trying to kill yourself all the time? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be Big Boss.
Yeah, I it's tough, but then again, you know, that's the kind of guy that decides the fate of the world. So who wouldn't want to be him for a day?
Maybe
what would his game be like? A dating sim. No.
Actually, you could make him if you had to set up the tactical espionage stuff for your clone to go through. That could be, I don't know. All these ideas seem like dungeon building to me. But I
yeah, pretty much.
It'd still be kind of cool. Maybe I just want to make games. That's probably what I'm getting at. But JP, your second one.
My second one is Sephiroth, the villain from Final Fantasy VII, and we're done. He's the biggest badass ever. So, I mean, I tweeted earlier that if you put him in a tournament fighter with every villain ever made, he would completely dominate all of them.
Someone needs to make that game.
I mean,
didn't they make that on the PSP?
I'll refute that with my next.
Refute it with your next one? Let me look here real quick.
What's the Sephiroth game like?
I don't know. I didn't play it.
Does Square make it? No, I said, what's...
It's not out.
You want to be this villain? What's
we
got
our professionals here, folks.
Yeah. Well, I would like to play the Sephiroth angle from Kingdom Hearts 2 is what I think I would really want to play, because spoiler alert if you didn't play that game, but he and Cloud kind of cross paths in the middle of the game, and it's kind of like they have unfinished business, and you and I think you're playing as Axel at that point, or is it Sora? I don't know. That game's confusing. But you and Goofy and Donald actually have to fight Sephiroth, and it is ridiculous.
Can we go back to how ridiculous that statement was right there?
Spoiler, Goofy dies.
No. The entire time I was waiting for the Disney shoe to drop, but when he said, I'd rather play the Kingdom Hearts angle because they cross paths and we have to do the business, but you want to do your business amongst Disney characters.
Okay. Kingdom Hearts was awesome, and you guys...
Yes, it was.
Just leave it alone. I mean, come on. Everybody liked calling out Simba as, you know, one of those, like, special summons, so... Yeah.
Simba.
I forgot about the summons in those games. Oh, man. My next one is... sorry, it's kind of, I feel like it's a cop-out, but... The Joker. Again...
Sephiroth could beat him.
In a fighting game, probably, but in a set up a deadly situation for your arch nemesis, I don't think so. And that's what playing through the Arkham games, just somehow having a game where you can set up ludicrous plots for heroes to go through. I keep going, but not in the Dungeon Master type of way, more of like the situational, just like to, you know, when they think they have it solved, you turn the other side of the plan on them. And I've just been blown away by some of the brilliant writing in those games. And I want to create those situations and kind of help with his insanity. So I really like the Joker.
Plus, you get to have Mark Hamill as your voice.
Oh, I was thinking more of Harley Quinn as my sidekick, but that works too.
Oh, well, there is that.
You could just make it a game where you go around killing Batman's associates and sidekicks.
That'd be kind of like the Gotham Robin? City Imposters. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That would be enough of a Joker game for me.
That already happened. Yeah, that's how the Oracle got in that wheelchair.
Right.
Joker.
It's how Tim Drake dies.
I don't have anything against Batgirl, though.
Jason Todd, not Tim Drake. Sorry.
I can't keep them straight. They're all Robin and they're all...
Yeah, Tim Drake's
they're all not Batman. That's all I know. But as far as being him in real life, though, no, I don't think I could support that lifestyle. So I'll stick with the I wanted the Joker video game. So
need some chapstick, that's for sure.
Well, what can't you support? The bad jokes or like the heavy drug use?
He's got a pretty
mass murder, probably.
It's the being constantly insane part that bothers me. He seems like he has a really stressful life. I know he plays it off well, but I mean, there's a lot of people gunning for the Joker. So
assuming Batman Arkham Asylum or Arkham City Joker, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jack Nicholson Joker was in a game too.
Yeah, the Joker I'm attached to is the Arkham City one.
Because I'm just saying that's an option.
Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson was too gangster for me. That I don't want to play mafia. You know.
Once again,
kind of a Dick Tracy villain.
Plus, you'd have to be affiliated with Tim Burton, who put guns in the Batmobile.
Yeah. You always have to bring that up.
That's your problem with that movie.
That's where it starts.
Oh no, there are many more problems, Josh. But as as Lacey said, this isn't the Batman show.
Let's go to Gifford's second one and reiterate your point about fighting games with all these bosses.
Darth frickin' Vader. The Lord of the Sith. He destroyed a planet.
No, he didn't. He built a machine that destroyed a planet. Get it right.
He was more like let me go back to...
The power of the Death Star paling in significance to the Force, that part. Yeah, Darth Vader.
So what fighting game can you summon a giant planet-sized battleship, though?
Well, you just have to integrate that into the game. Like, that's his summon.
That's his...
It would have to be similar to Iron Man's, like, cannon. You know what I mean? Something to that effect, but it rains from the heavens, I guess.
I guess I was thinking more of a Street Fighter 2, less of a Marvel versus Capcom type of universe for this fighting game.
Well, if you want to go that range, like, Ivy can kick the shit out of him in Soul Calibur, so who cares?
Which is ridiculous, because the lightsaber would cut through anything. Also, he can lift Ivy off the ground and just hold her and choke her to death. Yeah.
Was he any good in Masters of Terras Kasi?
I don't think that's a good judgment of the Vader character.
Maybe he had a fatality in that where he shot the Death Star.
where he killed George Lucas.
We need to play that.
Before he retconned
we should. Maybe that's what we can do to raise money for JP's name change. Make him play Battles of the Masters of the Terrakazi.
I've never played it, so it would be fun for everybody.
Gifford, walk me through the Darth Vader game.
Well, I mean, aside from killing lots of Ewoks, which would be awesome.
A dating sim?
Well, you do get Padme, which works out well for everybody. Because my fiance sort of looks like her.
That relationship looked like a lot of fun.
Well, some of it anyway. You got to make the babies. I don't know. You get to be the Dark Lord of the Sith and charge for the Galactic Empire. I mean, do whatever you want.
So it's a strategy title?
No, I think it's an open world sandbox again. You just go wherever you want, anywhere in the galaxy, kill whoever you want.
Sorry. Hire bounty hunters. So kind of like the sequel to Knights of the Old Republic, except you're playing as Darth Vader.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is a perfect excuse to come up with TIE Fighter 2, and you're not taking it.
That's a good
point. Fucked up, Gifford.
I do miss Star Wars X-Wing Alliance, so I think we need a sequel, except you fly a TIE Defender, which is bad.
I can get behind that game.
Because the TIE Defender makes the X-Wing look like the Red Baron's Tri-Wing.
You could fly one of those, TIE Fighter.
Oh, snap.
Red Baron's Tri-Wing?
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Let's go to Josh's third selection.
This is a quick and easy one. I picked Andross. For one reason.
He has the monkey ears?
I guess two reasons. No, because he has the best chance of killing Slippy Toad. So if it's ever going to happen, if Nintendo is ever going to put out like that kind of darker, more adult Star Fox game, I think Andross, you know, would possibly kill Slippy in that. That would be like the end of Act 2 in that game.
You're making a hell of a case for Andross, actually.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's all I have, really. I don't have much. I mean, the guy he's pretty resilient. He can turn himself into a giant space creature, so he's kind of like Galactus in a way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of good. It's a good quality to have. Really, I just really don't like Slippy Toad.
I think that's justification enough.
I was going to say, like, I don't know, we can actually top that.
And if he had a game, it would be like Saw. and it'd be Andross would be like Jigsaw,
like,
and
Saw
Slippy
in space
would be the hero.
You have clones of Slippy, so you get to kill him a whole lot of awful ways.
Yeah,
Andross is kind of twisted, actually. I didn't know that. What do you think? What's he like in real life, though? Like, how's he compared to Don Flamingo?
Oh God, he's I don't know. He probably, when he's not like yelling at his cronies and trying to take over the Lilat system, whatever, he's probably just sipping tea, like banana flavored tea.
All right, let's go to JP.
Wow, I don't know how to follow that one up. My next one's Ram from Gears of War 1, the best boss of those games that I've come across so far. God, that guy was a badass. I can't wait for that download pack that brings him back. That's going to be so awesome. But I was just kind of thinking about it, and I guess his game would be somewhat similar to Beast Mode, but more maybe campaign style. But
I think it's actually, are they the Skrill? Is that the bats or the Krill?
Krill. Yeah, the Krill. Yeah.
I think it's actually just a farm simulator where you have to collect and train all of those bats.
The suicidal bullet sponges?
Yes.
Yeah, so that could work. You know, you'd have to, it'd be like Dune, you know, where you have to go underground and mine resources, and, you know.
That just actually gave me the idea for another topic for another day, is What if Zynga made this game? Could be.
Oh, can I please be on that one? Because that would be awesome.
I think you're the only one of us who has extended experience with it.
I'm not
proud of it.
He sacrifices a lot for this site.
A lot. You're making me sound like some sort of saint.
You played Farmville. That puts you pretty close.
I played Cityville and College Town. Get it straight. As well as Farmville.
That's a lot of sacrifice. In my
part. Yeah. But no, I think a Ram game would be pretty fun.
You could take Ram up through the ranks of the Locust, I guess. Like, how did he become the general?
He was the strongest of all of them, outside of the Queen.
I'd shoot my game down. I guess it's really short.
Well, no, I'm just...
it could be like the Challenge Tower in Mortal Kombat.
Ooh, that would work. Like, oh, you killed the ticker. You get to move up.
How do you kill the ticker? Step on it.
If there was a comedy element to it, that might make it more compelling. Just like a lot of Ram jokes.
How about Dance Dance Gears of War?
Dancing General Ram. Actually,
that's how their ranks were decided, were dance offs. We just never saw them.
Listen to your friend Billy Zane.
my next selection is I don't really know who it is, but it's whoever's in charge of populating Dracula's castle with baddies. Like, I want that job, that game to negotiate the contracts with all the skeleton archers. Make sure that,
yeah, you want to be the union rep.
Right. I always find it odd that, you know, Dracula rises once every however many years, but his castle, it's ready to go. Like, it literally just opened for business. The Belmonts just got word, but it is fully packed. It's a party, and these guys are out to defend Dracula, and all he does is just kind of, you know, he wakes up and he hangs out in the tower. And
yeah, you're right. He doesn't do shit.
Yeah,
it's already like all there by the time he pops out.
I mean, that game would be short if those characters weren't in your way, but they are. You know, they.
You're actually. I think you're pitching more of the personal assistant role, and that would totally be a Zynga game. Because you could only meet with so many people in a certain time frame, and then you'd have to wait for the meter to rebuild. And then you could go to the gas station. You could buy little cards to get you coins so that you can talk to more powerful enemies.
Oh, I don't want to play this game.
No, he's actually traveling around the world, like visiting Wolfman and his.
No, because then you're turning it into. No, then it would be it'd be like Kentucky Airbiz, and it would be a business simulator.
Just how many mermen do we need this year?
Describe in your game how you go about recruiting 100. Medusa heads.
that is a...
Especially without turning to stone.
You know, he actually gets a
price
break.
How do you interview a Medusa?
This guy's a hero. Like, or maybe it's just a huge agency and they just go through people. Like, there's actually hundreds of them doing this. But
that monsters send them headshots to get the opportunity to live in Dracula's castle and be taped as a reality show. Big Brother... Dracula style.
We just keep interrupting Big Brother. That's what Castlevania is. I think you finally ruined that franchise for me.
Wow. How about that guy, the boss who's just like the big ball of flesh, like a big pile of zombies and stuff, and they're always just falling off of him.
Who's the decision maker in that pile?
They're like.
And what do you do if he's out of place? Like, what if he's hanging out in the entrance rather than...
He wouldn't even fit in the casting room.
Do you have to build the castle around him, too? Some of those other bosses are pretty huge. This agency that works wonders.
This is an undertaking. There's a lot of people involved in this. This is not one man. Not one personal assistant. It's not like Susie, little... You know, girl with glasses and her business
you
suit.
You think about, I mean, like, no bid contracts and, God, the withholding on that's got to be a bitch.
Reality show. Come on, man. Cheap labor.
I like the reality show idea. It's, you know, that's why they're all there. They're not really...
And when he's dead, it turns into, they'll do, like, you know, a season of Bachelor Pad and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. You know what I mean? Just to kind of buy time until he comes back.
He's one of those Belmont assholes again, interrupting the show.
Oh. No, that's like, that would just be their version of Survivor.
They made Castlevania a reality show. We need to move on. Gifford.
My third one is the guy breakdancing in Paperboy. Because I run into him a lot. I'm not much of like a party dancer. I mean, I can ballroom dance, but like, you know, spinning around on my back for an infinite amount of time, I'm really not good at that. And, you know, you got to have some great core strength. Dude probably has like an 8-pack.
I just like great core. I just like the label of him as a villain. I've never really thought of those guys that way.
They kill you.
Is he more sinister than the guys carrying glass and Back to the Future just walking back and forth in the middle of the street?
Oh. Man, that is, yeah.
Sinister.
That is sinister.
We are.
Who carries a piece of glass back and forth across the street with no intention of dropping it off ever?
Okay, which would you rather be, breakdancing guy or carry glass guy? I'm still with breakdancing guy.
I'm going with breakdancing guy. I mean, the fact that he never stops spinning, he represents, like, not only is he breaking the laws of physics, he represents clean energy forever.
I was going to say, maybe actually, though, maybe breakdancing guy's actually just trapped in hell. Like, that's all he's allowed to do.
Like, what, like Sisyphus?
Yeah, that's exactly, because all the villains in Paperboy, they're doing one action. And maybe he's trapped. He has to do that for the rest of his life.
Yeah, if you could actually like zoom the camera in on his face, he's crying. He's like bawling. He's like, "Help, please! I can't stop." His like back's all raw from the road burn.
Probably does not have Don Flamenco's social life. Is what I'm getting at.
No, I think he's doing it trying to pick up chicks, man. I mean,
why granted, else would you be a bad guy?
Then again, some of those houses on that street, I don't know if I'd want to date some of the girls that live in those houses.
What does it take for a breakdancing guy to build up a rivalry with a paperboy?
Hmm.
Like, why?
I don't know, but I hate the breakdancing guy.
Maybe you're the villain, the paperboy.
Maybe.
I hate paperboys. They never hit the target. And so, you're the one. All these people are just going about their normal day. You're the one riding around like an asshole. You can't slow down.
So what, we're taking like a Wicked approach to it. Like, you know, suddenly the story is about the oppressed paperboy or the oppressed breakdancing guy who's always like attacked by the paperboy.
Are you talking about the Broadway show / book?
I was talking about the book, but yeah. That was the best example I could come up with where somebody like, oh, okay, Grendel.
It would have been easier if you made it a reality show.
Or dating sim.
Everything is either Dungeon Keeper or a reality show. I've got it. That's where this is going. Let's go to Josh's fourth one.
This is the last one I had on my list. And this was a tough one. Because I thought at some point on this list, I just need to come up. Like, I was trying to think of like who's the biggest asshole that like of all time of game villains. And that has to be the Creeper from Minecraft. You guys don't play Minecraft, though.
Yeah, wrong audience for that. You got some excited listeners out there, though.
Okay.
Are we talking about PC again?
God damn.
I think so, 33% of our audience just tuned out.
What's the Creeper? Sure. What's the Creeper's game like?
Well, it's either a terrorist simulator.
Because they blow themselves up.
Yeah, because all they do, a creeper just suicide bombs you. As soon as it sees you, it comes right after you, it starts hissing, and then it just explodes. And it's dead. It's gone forever. But I'd like to maybe think that there's more to it than that. Like, there are a lot of creepers. They respawn in the game, so they must procreate. Somebody's put them there, you know. And that game is, you know, there's no sign of any sort of god in that game. So I'm pretty sure they're just doing it. And which has got to be volatile because there's got to be other ways that they would explode. So, and maybe that's a game of just like go about your daily life and try not to blow up.
Don't get too excited.
Jump out of bed. Don't blow up. Like, fart, but don't explode. Cook eggs, but don't touch the grease.
No, like,
you'll blow up.
You'll blow up.
I think the more interesting part is staying off the radar of whoever sends out the creepers. Like, I think you're right. There are probably a lot of creepers, and they procreate. But, like, when you draw the short straw and you have to go out and try to kill that dick that's building the giant dick.
Yeah, like, why do they do it? Like, do they have anger issues? Like, maybe they don't know they're going to blow up. Maybe they're trying to make friends.
And
that's they can't use words. They can only hiss, but they're trying to say hello, and they get close to you and
explode from disappointment.
Well, yeah, or maybe there's an allergy. It could be to our sweat glands or something. I don't know.
To pickaxes.
But you might be on something there. There might be like a Logan's Run thing going on where, you know, there's this like land of the creepers and everything's all hunky-dory. And then you get, you know, when your time's up, the little red glowy spot on your ass, you know, lights up and you get called to jump into the vortex. Get pooped out into the wild.
What, are we on an Evil Dead 3 reference at this point?
No, it was Logan's Run. You get.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm with you. You just said vortex and then pooped out in the wilderness, and I automatically jumped to the real ending of Evil Dead 3 when Ash ends up. Okay, never mind.
JP, you're. We're gonna stick with just our final fours here. So your last one.
Let's see. Oh, you got rid of the other one because I didn't like him anyways. Good. My last one is. Andrew Ryan, and I thought of Andrew Ryan when I was thinking of just villains I enjoy, I guess, and you can have Fontaine and Atlas, but Andrew Ryan was the true villain, and he was what made Bioshock as awesome as that game was. It all kind of just got a little soft after that, so as far as his game, God, that would probably be like another business type simulator, you know what I mean? Like,
you just...
imagine Andrew Ryan in The Sims. Like, you go to work, and then you come home, and you have to deal with all these people that are oppressing you and your scientific views. And
yeah, at which point in Andrew Ryan's life do you build the game? Is it, like, leading up to the construction of the city, or, like, after it starts to turn? Like, what do you think?
It's almost like you could meld the game The Sims and SimCity, and like you could just take all of those Sims games and make them into one starring Andrew Ryan.
Jeez. Oh, that's it. It's a parenting simulator. How do you raise a Randian netball?
Yeah, what was your answer?
Would you kindly eat your applesauce?
That's what I actually...
No, but the thing is, would you kindly wasn't Andrew Ryan. It was Atlas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are different people?
Yeah. You're right.
Or Fontaine. Both.
Yeah, because I got excited about a game where you literally just sit at your desk and ask people kindly to do things. But
but as previously stated, Fontaine is kind of a worthless...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's more of a puppet master than anything else, whereas Andrew Ryan just built, like, he built this society that created, it let him pursue his scientific ideals that led to splicers. I mean, he had cracked out people that completely destroyed his utopia. He was such an evil genius.
I just don't see a happy ending for that game. Like,
well, no, he shoots himself in the head. I mean, how is there going to be a happy ending?
I think this is a terrible choice.
Shoot himself in the head?
Yes, he does.
His son beats him to death with a golf club.
Gifford is correct.
But you weren't his son.
Well, there's some sort of connection.
No, you weren't his son. You were created by Fontaine.
Bioshock?
Anyway, he gets beaten to death with a golf club.
Yeah, but shot in the head would be better.
Suicide by headshot. Okay, yeah.
This is going dark places.
Yeah, I don't. I don't see the upside.
We're talking about villains, of course it's going dark places.
And Andrew Ryan is one of the darker villains.
But he doesn't have like I don't know. He doesn't have his like on top of the world moment that makes it worth it. Like the creepers. No.
Yeah, but who necessarily has to say that any villain is going to have this big like domineering moment?
No, we're trying to select which ones are actually going to be fun to play as, and Andrew Ryan sounds like a lot of work, and then you die by a golf club to the face, and that doesn't sound as appealing as
okay,
the Don Flamingo like social life.
Here's a better pitch for Andrew Ryan then. Andrew Ryan stars in Tropico.
Okay. Yes,
I'll buy it.
Build a society. I could see that. My final selection is actually going back to Mass Effect 1, playing as Saren. I don't know. There's just enough that I like about the Mass Effect universe that I kind of want to manipulate it and maybe help Saren succeed. And it just jumped out at me as like a darker twist on that universe I love. So I don't think it would play all that differently. I don't think I want it to, but more of a commander of an evil army scenario and trying to stop Shepard would be, I think that would actually be a good game. So I'm sure I can come up with jokes around it, but it actually kind of sounded appealing to me.
So what does Saren do when he's not on screen, like in Mass Effect?
Setting up conspiracies and negotiating with alien overlords. setting up your
different...
Yeah. Setting up the the different locations where Shepard has to go, like set up the defenses for those areas. And then you have to go to all the stupid the council meetings though. That kind of sucks. Might have to eliminate that part.
Sounds like a lot of talking. This might be an LA Noir engine.
Unlike normal Mass Effect 3 that has no talking.
Oh, I don't hear a lot of. I didn't hear any shooting in there. There were no guns.
You get to hang out with Deanna Troi, so you got that going for you.
Oh, you gotta fight off. Well, I guess Saren himself isn't actually shooting, but to fight off Shepard, and it's more of a, I guess it's more of an RTS in those moments. But
He kicks the crap out of Shepard twice.
Maybe when you were playing.
Give her, take us home. Last one.
I'm going with the G-Man from Half-Life, who's honestly a little bit of a, no offense to Valve, but ripoff of the smoking man from X-Files. But, dude, he's awesome. Like, he shows up in a train car with the last free man, and sort of, even though Gordon is... you know, been fighting off this trans-dimensional menace, like he's just suddenly there and directs Gordon Freeman. And also in I can't remember what the expansion was called, but the guy that is Shepherd? Part of, no, not Shepard,
Adrian Shepard.
That he
opposing
throws
forces
out. Yeah, opposing forces. Yeah, he throws him out into like the darkness. He's kind of a badass, and you don't really know a whole lot about him. And then suddenly you show up in Half-Life 2, and there's in City 17. Like, man, you've been busy while Gordon was away. I kind of like the evil mastermind, man of mystery thing he's got going on there.
He may very well be the most powerful and mysterious game character of all time.
Yeah, because we don't really know anything about it.
But what if that game, though, is purely about maintaining that stigma and you're actually just, like, a lovable goofball, but you have to, like, make sure that you're done laughing about some stupid joke when you walk out into this scene. Like, that's all the game is.
It turns into a button masher where you have to just wail on the button to keep your serious mask on.
It's, like, probably more of a balance thing. Like with the analog sticks, but yes,
It's a good use for the balance, the Tony Hawk skateboard. <Yes.
laughs> It uses the Tony Hawk engine to maintain just your composure. That's all it is.
So it's like the Truman Show from the other side.
Yeah, exactly. You're
just like trying to maintain the illusion.
Yeah, he's just a puppet.
That you're not that you maintain the illusion that you're not, or that you're an evil mastermind, when in real life you're Bill Murray.
Yeah. I'd play that game. If it was free.
Anything with Bill Murray.
You know, all this got me thinking. If you know, we were talking about what would their games be like, and assuming that they wouldn't just be the same game but played from the other perspective.
Yeah.
Why haven't we seen a game where you just play boss fights as the bosses? Like an indie game or something. This, you know,
like all the would-be heroes. You're just fending off all the would-be heroes.
Yeah, and you know, and you're going to lose. Hey. You always die, but it's how many times can you make the hero continue?
Well, I just read a short story about this town. It always has heroes coming through it, and the town is always trying to get the heroes to go away because in addition to expecting like free ale, they do stuff like kill the town's dragon, and it turns out the town's dragon is actually like their bank. Like, he keeps all of their money safe. Or they I can't remember, they killed something. Oh, they killed the vampires, except the vampires were used to bring back relatives on special occasions. Like, so yeah, there's your game. Like, heroes are actually the bad guys.
I like the boss battle idea, Josh, from the aspect of not the one hero that's eventually going to kill you, even though I like the continues idea. How about like all the other heroes that have failed? That basically explains why you as a boss have fighting patterns, just because these three things have worked against hundreds of other enemies. So by the time
so you go going back to the well is what gets you killed in the end.
Yep.
That's great.
All right, let's you guys be thinking about, as far as our overall top five list here, why I break down some of the community posts. Hyperspaz Amber wrote in on Twitter and recommended that that Kefka from Final Fantasy VI, since he killed a lot of people, there's great music in the game, he has a great laugh, and he actually ended the world, so that would be kind of fun to play as. And her follow...
A clown?
Yes, he was a clown, but no. He ended the world.
Freaking scary.
My list.
She also liked Sephiroth and Ganon and Dr. Robotnik. And then Ethan was actually going to join our show, but he's had some other things going on this week. But he did put together a list of his top four, so I thought I'd break those down for everybody. Not surprisingly, he pulls from the Resident Evil well for his first selection of Wesker. And then goes a little bit Ethan for the rest of these. For... I'd like to be the viruses from Dr. Mario, or that guy that drops all the Tetris blocks. That guy's a dick.
Or your friend. You wouldn't ever get any points in that game if he didn't throw you the pieces.
And Baby Bowser from Yoshi's Island. of all the villain selections from all the Mario games.
Dodged a bullet on this one. So he's not here to defend him.
I was going to say, how about Baby Mario's scream from Yoshi's Island? I think that's the biggest villain.
God.
Speaking of Mario villains, I'm proud to announce that my Waluigi costume has come in. So,
oh, shit.
Look forward for that on Halloween photos. But I thought I would honor the world's worst video game character by dressing up as him. So...
You're either honoring him or you're going to, I don't know, make yourself look like a fool. I don't know which, but...
It's Halloween. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's true.
All right. Let's break down these lists here. I got to go with... Josh made a hell of a case for Andross. He might be. He's definitely in the top five. Zeus. The other interesting thing that we didn't mention on Zeus is... Isn't he technically a good guy outside of God of War?
Yes.
Well, everyone's a bad guy in God of War.
as much as any Greek god can be a good guy, because they're the most dysfunctional family. But yeah, ish. He so helps out a lot of heroes.
What is the deciding factor on our list here, as far as like fun games, most fun to play as? What angle should we take? Or just
best benefits? Overall idea.
Okay. Okay.
Well, then, if it's best overall idea, we have to put the Castlevania Talent Agency in there.
Yes, absolutely.
That's going to be number one.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no order to these. Don't worry about them. We would talk all night if we had to actually order them. So,
that's how top five lists work. Top five, no particular order.
What else we got? Don Flamenco, does he make the list? He made a showing.
Okay. No.
He makes a showing, but I don't think he makes the list, because, you know, he's a pretty boxer.
I think his last
name is the same as a dance.
I think the ability to be the one of the robot masters or Dr. Wily is intriguing, because, I mean...
Which one?
I think the robot master, because you could do a lot more with that. I mean...
Any other votes for that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like the Dr. Wily, too, but the robot master was way more interesting.
All
right. Just from the perspective of, like, ultimate failure probably at the end.
Right, we've got two left here.
Andrew Ryan.
I came back on that, man, just from the aspect that all the stuff I kept thinking was kind of cool was actually Atlas. And, I don't know, Andrew Ryan, to some regard, he was a good guy. Like,
ish.
Like, the building of the... Of the city,
he was a complex individual.
He was complex. Let's see,
G-Man.
I was thinking G-Man. I could go for G-Man. What do you think, JP?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, okay. I don't know much about Half-Life 2, so sure.
he's in all the Half-Lives.
Well, then he's in more Half-Lives than I've played.
So we're marking off Don Flamenco, Dr. Wily. So we've got Zeus is a contender, Big Boss, Joker, Vader.
I don't think Big Boss, no.
Because since you technically played as him, he's kind of that was my kind of thrown out factor. Ram, Paperboy, breakdancing guy.
I think I still like the Ram DDR version. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty solid.
I guess my vote's actually going to go with Creeper. I don't know, like, I want to understand the Creeper society, I guess.
No, you're just appealing to the PC audience.
You know me. You know me and my gamer score that determines which console I buy for.
Gotta get them Chivos.
Yeah. Any opposition to Creeper or other nominees?
Creeper bothers me a little bit. I mean, Sephiroth has made several appearances on different lists. I know absolutely nothing.
I just can't picture the game as him. Like, the Sephiroth game to me is almost like every other badass character game.
He's another complex, tragic individual. So, I mean, his story is not going to end up good anyways, because he's going to be alone because he kills everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a home wrecker, to be specific.
Paperboy, home wrecker?
Paperboy break dancer.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
If we're doing that, I'm saying Paperboy, because I think he's the actually...
Yeah.
He's the villain.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah, right. He's the bad guy.
You know why the Paperboy is truly the villain? Is because he's delivering you bad news every day.
All right, here's our final...
Stock market crash, you find out from the Paperboy.
Paperboy will be our final villain. So here's the final list of the top five I want to be video game villains, based on our interesting ideas that we came up for the game concepts.
Our exacting metrics.
We've got Andross from Star Fox, Death to Slippy. We've got... one of the robot masters, my preference would be Metal Man. We've got Dracula's talent agency for populating his castle.
That's great.
We've got G-Man from Half-Life, who's just brooding over all of us right now. And then Paperboy, the actual villain from that game. It's a solid list, gentlemen. Good work. All right, that's going to do it. If you have any other villains that would be fun to play, we'd like to hear from you in the comments or on Twitter. So hit us up. Before we get out of here, some HorribleNight.com updates. The one little project we're working on right now is I'm still compiling highlights from the charity event. So there'll be a lot of video highlights coming your way. And also this week you saw our first game night with Copper Skull. As far as we're going to try to use our Twitch TV streaming channel more often. So there should be at least weekly streams of one of us playing games and opening up chat and trying to gain exposure to whatever games we're playing for that week, as well as upcoming, we'll have more formal community events where we will invite people ahead of time to come play a game with all of us. So we'll try to get more gamers on there, but on a weekly basis, at least a couple game sessions on that channel. And then the Horrible Night Live, Horrible Night, the Horrible Show will be going live once a month starting in November. We're going to try to do the second Tuesday night of every month as our live recording. So we will post the recorded episode on Wednesday, but we will be filming it live on Twitch TV on Tuesday nights and hope you come out and kind of interact with us as we screw up the show every week. So look forward to that. And beyond that, we're just trying to stay on top of all these new releases and try to get start heading into our Game of the Year discussions in early December. So we're going to try to push through as many games as we can. So as always, thanks for listening tonight. And if you do want to reach out to The Horrible Show, we have a phone number on the site. And as well as you can hit us up on our contact form or on Twitter at The Horrible Show. We'd like to hear from you. We'll answer questions and give you shout-outs to if we read your question on the air. And beyond that, we will take a little break here and come back for our threesomes of the week. So take it easy. Welcome back. We are going to recap our threesomes of the week here. Just kind of cool down, talk a little bit about video games, but also all the other media we've been consuming because we consume quite a bit. And sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes the tangents are more interesting than the points themselves. So
nothing will be more interesting than Castlevania Big Brother.
That's true. I wish that was DVRing right now. I'm going to kick us off, actually, because I usually don't. But I do want to talk about the IMAX screening I went to last week for The Haunting
Real Steel?
The Haunting of Fox Hollow Farm, which is basically a local haunt in and around the Indianapolis area. But I won't delve too much into the story, even though the story is pretty interesting, especially for it being local. But let me tell you about like how and why I went to see it. I mean, obviously, I've talked a lot about ghost shows, and my girlfriend and I are quite big into a few of the ghost hunting shows, but not ghost hunters. And so when we saw that it was a local story and it was a movie kind of about paranormal investigations locally, we thought it'd be cool. It's on the IMAX, and I don't know why I tricked myself into thinking, oh, wow, they must have shot this with IMAX cameras. Not even close. So there's nothing like the big 4x3 movie on an IMAX screen. But anyway.
Really? That was 4x? Really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but it was not using very much of the IMAX screen is basically it. But so they
Flip HD does widescreen. I mean, it's time to upgrade, dudes.
The event itself was set up cool. You can QA with the filmmakers and some of the – they had like six teams of investigators that went through this place and basically a local serial killer. And – but after watching, you know, it's easy to make fun of a lot of the ghost hunting shows because the footage is so cheesy and it's just a lot of things you can pick apart. But there's a big difference between the edited shows that we see on cable that actually have a decent following compared to some of the more amateur filmmakers out there, because this thing, it was just cut together terribly. Like, it was unwatchable. It was very, very frustrating from a, you know, I have a high tolerance for the content, and this, like I said, the story was interesting, but just the way it was cut together was pretty annoying. And Ethan was also there. We walked away kind of disappointed. Like, actually, we wanted to get the footage ourselves and cut the movie together better. Like, it just, like, they tried to tell, they didn't do a good job of telling this, of having any structure to the story. It was just jumping around between investigations and the backstory, and it was, I expected more out of it, I guess, but it was still, it was a fun experience as far as a random thing to do in Indy on a Friday night, though. So.
And, needless to say, they didn't actually catch an apparition on the,
not even close.
On the phone. Did they get any dust particles?
No, they had a lot of EVP stuff. And
from the local cell tower.
Yeah. and I just, the story itself was creepier than what they could actually show. But
and this was a funny thing, because when you guys were talking about this on
Facebook,
or Facebook, and then there was some Twitter stuff. There was a. You know, at some point there, I saw it and I realized that this was a documentary about, you know, this, or this was the, like, I actually had like an invite to, I'm really not making a whole lot of sense right now. Anyways,
what happened?
This movie, uh-huh. I got an invite to go to there's the premiere that you guys
right, yeah,
were going to. And, this is off like a Facebook group thing. And, and I couldn't go because I was sick. But then I saw you guys were going, and so I was like, oh man, you know, maybe I'll. I was thinking about, you know, maybe I'll, you know, load up on the Dayquil and try to make it. Couldn't. but I was going, oh my God, guys, I've been to this place. It's last year. I actually went to Fox Hollow Farm. It wasn't not like a tour or anything. We were filming a movie. It was a little amateur film for a film festival, and it was a horror film, and I was in it as a zombie. And so we went out to this place, and we actually got – I talked to a bunch of these – there were a couple of the people that were in this movie that were telling the story, and I heard it firsthand from them, and, you know, their sightings of this, you know, seeing somebody with, like, a red shirt in the woods, yeah, and all this kind of stuff. And then and I saw a place – like, I saw, like, a fresh hole where – a human femur had just been pulled up like 2 days before.
Whoa.
And that is probably more messed up than anything you're going to see in that documentary.
Yeah. I guess they're still uncovering bones. Obviously you just said it, but
yeah. Yeah. And they're all over the place on this property.
Killed between like 10 and 30 people, or they don't really know the number.
Yeah. They really don't know. Yeah.
So like I said, the backstory is really, really creepy, and it probably could, the footage itself was probably all right, but I really blame the editing and just the way the guy tried to tell the story and failed to tell it. So anyway, moving on to current music. I've been listening to the Power Man 5000 Tonight the Stars Revolt album repetitively for the last 2 months for some reason. The only reason I bring it up is because it's just an album that I love for whatever reason, and it's also associated with my best concert going experience, which was, I think, back in 2000, and one of the smaller venues in town, and just a big new metal show or whatever they're called. But it was just really entertaining for what it was, and I have a soft spot for that band because I don't know, I just love that album. So,
dude, you listen to the worst music.
I don't even defend it. Like, I love it to death, man.
I saw them open for, I think, Kid Rock at Conseco around the same time. Yeah. Yeah. That was Three Doors Down was at that show, too. It was very strange.
Oh, God. I hate Three Doors Down.
Oh, but that was when they only had one song.
That one song.
They still only have one song.
Yeah. They're like Nickelback. They have one song.
No, Nickelback has multiple songs. It's just the same song.
That's what I was getting. That's what
over
I was
over and over and over again.
Right, exactly.
And so does Three Doors Down. Video game wise, did you know, guys, that there's a new Batman game? And it's kind of good. And I've been playing it.
What, there's a Batman game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that Imposters, Gotham City Imposters.
Yeah, it's, actually, I want to play that, but Arkham City. Been playing a lot of Arkham City, and could go heavily into it all, but I just want to focus on the fact that holy shit, did they do the Penguin excellently?
Yeah.
Oh,
and to the point where, like,
brutal.
I was just like, I know the Penguin's not the focus of any of the new Batman movies, but. They've made it work in like the same type of style as the current Batman movies, and I want to see Tim Roth play the Penguin, because when he called me a wanker and he repetitively said "Oi" to get my attention, like, it just gave me nice Lie to Me flashbacks, and I was like, Tim Roth could be that guy, and it could be a really dark Penguin that that, you know, that isn't the comedy version from Batman Returns. So
yeah, I mean, that's jumped out at me with Penguin, is like, I never thought of him as anything but sort of slightly comic relief.
Yeah.
But like, he's a bad guy. Yep. Like a really bad guy.
Like, he could actually, you know, duke it out with the Joker as far as some of the schemes that he comes up with. So I've been blown away by that, and I do not want the Batman video games or the Batman movies to end right now as they are, because it's pretty damn good as for a Batman fan. So,
you know what I love about that game?
What, JP?
I love how that game, like, the city feels alive. Like, it literally feels like it has a mind of its own. Like, I find myself just running around and beating up groups of bad guys because I can hear them talking.
You know, stop talking! Yeah. I'm Batman!
But it's almost like they took what the GTA series did as far as, like, you know, these ecosystems within the city and everything like that, and they just put it into the Batman universe, and it works perfectly.
I think they've done a great job of taking some of the strengths of the open world settings of GTA games and the strengths of the open world settings of Assassin's Creed games, and they've kind of made their own niche that it doesn't try to be bigger than it needs to be, but there's enough going on to keep you busy. And I still think the concept of Arkham City is kind of silly, like the story of it, but as a reason to give you an open world setting, but it plays awesome. So no surprise there. We kind of like Batman.
I can't wait to play, because they have a new game plus on that, right?
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't wait to go through that, so that'll be fun.
Joshua, how about your threesomes?
Play some games.
Video games?
Watch some movies. Yeah, play some video games. I had kind of a dude night.
Dude.
I think it was like Saturday. And there were three of us sitting on my couch. Well, I was in a chair. No, we weren't all next to each other on my couch.
Stories full of lies.
I don't get that close
lies.
To dudes. And, you know, it's kind of hard to come up with stuff that's, you know, three-player games these days, it seems like. Not that it was ever any better.
Battletoads.
Battletoads. That wasn't... Could you play that with three people?
There are three Battletoads. That's all
Well, yeah, but did it have, like, multi-tap?
No.
Why'd you get me excited for three-player Battletoads?
Also, there's not a new Battletoads game.
Yeah. So, man, I forgot about that. Somebody should be bringing that back. Who owns that?
Rare, I thought. Rare.
Oh, well, we're never going to see that.
Right.
So, going through our list of available games, I got this bright idea that we should try the Lantern Run in Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. And this was, and I had not played the Lantern Run at all. And, one guy, he plays a lot of co-op stuff with me, so I felt good there. And then I had another friend of mine who, I don't actually play a lot of games with. So, you know, I was kind of afraid to do anything that was going to have us at each other's throats, but, it worked out. We all yelled at each other and no one got, really, really upset about it. So
always a plus.
Yeah. But man, it's really fun. I would not want to do that online because you can't push or shove people over the internet. And when you're yelling at people and you can't see their hatred in their face.
You cannot choke them over the internet.
I mean, nothing will get you at your friends' throats like the Lantern Run.
Huh. I thought it was a nice, friendly experience.
Nope. It requires way too much coordination.
Lantern Run is a very unassuming name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cooperative, but you have to coordinate, and it's so easy to just bone everyone else. The whole point of it is just to see how far you can go and get high, like, level points. So I don't think there's an end to it, but there's an achievement you get if you get like a million points, and which is determined by how far you go plus, I think like how many lanterns you're carrying along the way. But it's brutal. But I actually, it's kind of like a Horde after that.
I was gonna ask you,
I want to do it again.
I was like, are you more likely to choke your friends during Lantern Run or Horde mode?
Nah, Horde isn't. Like, I was never really mad at anybody else during Horde. I was mad at the game. I felt like the game was throwing bullshit at me. But this, it's like, you know, somebody just made a bad decision. Like, why did you go up? You should have went down. Why did you throw your lantern down and pick up rocks when we told you to pick up your lantern? There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Sounds good. I'll think of a shot.
So, and then, and I got... I don't want to say I got tricked into watching Bridesmaids, but...
But you watch Bridesmaids.
Yeah. Well, I was like a little overdue to watch a movie with my girlfriend, like that she wanted to watch, you know. Yeah. And she says, oh, it's really... And I heard this from other people, too, and other girls. They're like, oh, no, this is... It's not really...
It's like The Hangover.
It's like Hangover. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, it's like The Hangover, but it's even funnier. Oh, it's so good. You'll love it. No, it's not a girl movie. It's a chick flick. That is absolutely 100% a girl movie. It just happens to have some, like, really funny jokes that are just random jokes. So it's kind of like, oh, wow, I didn't expect him to say that. And I laughed, you know? But, you know, as towards the end of the film there, when like Wilson Phillips starts, like they start singing a song, like they do like a whole song and everyone's singing and dancing and clapping their hands. It was like one of those moments, like, really, man, that's when I checked out. I was done.
That's at the freaking credits.
Yeah.
Well, no, they do it before that. I think, I don't know. There was more movie after that, but whatever. Good on me. I made it that far, I guess.
Hey, the poop scene is pretty funny.
Yeah, of course I enjoyed that. But
the airplane marshal scene is pretty funny too.
Yeah, man. So all you guys got tricked into this as well.
This scene where I watched a different movie is even better.
Everyone, that's it. You guys don't have anything else?
I won.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. So.
Yeah, it was fun. No, you know, and it was funny. Like I said, I laughed, but I definitely got tricked. It is definitely a chick flick.
It is not The Hangover.
No. Mm-mm. So, are you going to argue? JP, tell me it's not a chick flick.
Yeah, it's got its chick flick moments, but I still thought it was funny. I mean,
I'm not arguing that. You're getting defensive right now. You feel somehow I challenge your manhood when I said something bad about the movie.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I would watch it again. I thought it was hilarious. I mean,
I wouldn't go that far.
With or without your wife or girlfriend?
No.
I'd probably watch it without her. I thought that Kristen Wiig was really funny in that movie.
I don't understand that phrase.
Let's go listen to Power Man 5000 of Rock
Out. Yeah.
Drink some beers.
Obviously, my opinions are much more in tune.
How many tattoos and Harleys do you have?
I almost went as a biker for Halloween, but my Waluigi costume came in, so. Yeah, that's what my girlfriend and I watch. We watch incredibly violent television and bikers.
Like Machete.
No, we have Machete. What else you got, Josh?
Well, and then I kind of capped off my weekend usually goes into like Monday. So Battlefield 3 on the PC, which is the best platform probably to play it on if you like to have fun.
I do.
And fun. and you can argue that, oh, there's, you know, I don't know what your argument would be why you'd want to play it on the Xbox if you just would have to not have a PC that can play it, because
dude,
64 dudes and a multiplayer list. Game.
Yeah.
64 people.
Yeah.
And it is unbelievably epic experience. Now, it's an epic experience because Battlefield 1 and 2 and 2142, those were all, and Bad Company 2, those were all pretty epic experiences as well, because this game is the same as those games. It just happens to look better. It is, gameplay-wise, the way, you know, a round plays out, the conquest, rush modes, all that stuff, none of that has changed. It's like, it's not, you're not getting something different. This isn't like some kind of, they didn't change the game to take on Call of Duty or something, like whatever EA maybe kind of wanted you to believe. But I really like Battlefield, so for me, this was a good thing. So yeah, really enjoying it. The multiplayer stuff is really good. I don't like the using Battlelog browser thing. That sucks. But it is what it is. The worst part about it is really just not being able to log in and see who's one, like who is online but not playing Battlefield, so I can like round them up. And two, I can't pop into Steam and see who's playing Battlefield 3. So I'm still sore about that non-Steam operation thing. It came right out in my face. I'm like, yep, I was bitching for a good reason because this sucks. And I was texting people to try to get them to play with me.
Just why did EA make it so hard to like that game?
I don't know. Once again, they're just like trying to make my life difficult. But you know what? I soldiered through it, and it's fun. And I have one quick thing to say about the single player. What? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was laughing at your soldiering through it pun that you didn't know you made.
I played a little bit of the single player, which felt like a Call of Duty single player.
Okay.
Which was kind of good, man. But you know, take that as you will. I got stuck. I died. I think it was like 8 times on one spot, and this is like the first like mission. I think it's maybe at the end of it or something. It was from the demo when you see it's like there's some you remember that scene on the rooftop with an RPG and all that stuff from that demo they showed, and then you get down on the streets and you see a guy walk on this little little crosswalk like bridge thing, and he picks up a saw, starts shooting dudes. That I'm playing on normal, and I'm pretty decent at Battlefield, and I'm like going prone, watching my corners and stuff. I cannot not die at that scene.
Huh.
I mean, I died like 8 times from like bullshit. Like where I've got my head down, I pick up the gun from prone, and I died almost immediately, like every single time. And I got really frustrated. I actually quit out of the game. I stopped playing the game because of in the first level. Like this is, I'm not the best player in the world, but something's wrong here. That was really stupid.
Sounds like it. Like as far as like I was gonna say, it sounds like Call of Duty to me.
Yeah, that same kind. You know what? The same kind of bullshit scenarios you would get into. You know, with like, oh, they don't stop spawning until you do this thing. It's like so. I guess the single player part of it, maybe they were going a little bit towards that. You know, that Call of Duty thing. But I thought Bad Company 2's campaign was actually really good.
Yeah,
and this is not that.
Yeah,
but I don't play for that. I play for the multiplayer. So
yeah. Ah, so frustrated. JP, your threesomes.
Well, I'm not going to talk about any games because they've both been talked about at this point. So I'm going to start with music. I've been listening to a lot of Deadmau5 lately, primarily the album 4x4=12. I like to listen to it when I'm doing homework. Don't ask me why, but it just kind of focus. Yeah, I like to listen to the continuous mix on Spotify because then I can listen to it for 70 minutes with no commercials at all. So it's kind of my way to get around not paying for Spotify at the moment.
I actually write a lot to that album.
Yeah, I can see that too. I I see that in the future for me as well. So it's a really good album, though. I mean, as far as like techno trancey kind of albums go. So
I really like Deadmau5. That's I definitely feel you there.
Did you you guys heard about the fiasco we had in Bloomington last week, right?
Mm-mm. Oh no, what happened?
He was supposed to play some festival that a fraternity house was putting on, and it was like in a barn, and it was raining, and so he basically showed up to the venue and was like, "This isn't going to happen," and they moved him to like a tiny bar, and he tweeted that the bar, like, it was the shittiest bar, the shittiest sound, the shittiest setup, but the best like show he's ever done. Because he said that like really? The fans were like really awesome. So oh, nice. Yeah, he was like, "Oh, I'll definitely come back to the area." So,
but I gotta pick my venue.
Yeah, last time you do something for a fraternity house, no, basically.
I thought the Deadmau5 is beyond fraternity houses at this point, but maybe I don't understand that industry.
Yeah, or, maybe not. I mean, well, maybe somebody put up a whole lot of that.
Cash. It's true.
Well, LMFAO played that festival last year, from what I understand. It's called like the Glow Fest or something like that. I don't know.
Those IU kids, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'll stick to my Grand Prix and good football and basketball teams.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. How many national championships?
Yeah.
Gifford, didn't you go to Wabash?
No, because I like girls.
Anyway, you don't matter. Anywho, fall TV started, and obviously, and one of my favorite shows is Parks and Recreation, and it is just, that show gets funnier every single week. I absolutely love Ron Swanson. I think he's one of the greatest characters on TV right now. So
that seems to be the consensus. I gave up on that show during season one, but everybody says I need to come back.
Yeah, if I stuck out season one and they rewarded it with, you know,
with
from the
season
get-go.
Two.
Well, from the get-go of season two, it was absolutely hilarious, and it's just the train hasn't exactly stopped there yet. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, it's good. You should go back and watch it, and then. On the trip that I took last week, my wife and I watched Palm Wonderful Presents the Greatest Movie Ever Sold on the airplane. And that movie, it's a Morgan Spurlock documentary, and it was awesome. It was fascinating because he basically was sitting around watching like Transformers and those kind of movies and seeing all the product placements. And he kind of explores product placement and how it pays for a movie. And so his premise of the documentary is that he's going to get advertisers to pay for his entire documentary about advertising in movies.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's really cool. And he said, like, and he goes and talks to directors and like he talked to Tarantino, and Tarantino was kind of like, "I don't do product placement bullshit in my movies." But then he talked to some other directors that were like, "Yeah, I've had, you know, representatives stop me and say, you can't shoot a scene in this way because the product isn't shown in a particular manner. Come like it's on. Not visible enough." Yeah. So, it's and, gross. Yeah, it was funny though. 'Cause of course he pokes fun at it, and you know how he got some of these companies on board, I don't know, but it was funny. 'Cause he was like, "Oh, I called, you know, McDonald's and Burger King, and you know, they didn't return my calls." So it's like, no wonder. Yeah. Wow. Surprising that they did not return your calls. And then, I wanted to throw a fourth big plug in here. Beavis and Butthead premieres today, which I'm really excited for that because I'm a closet, like, still in middle school at times. So.
They're new episodes?
Brand new episodes.
Oh, God.
The only.
That's a bad idea.
I was never a Beavis and Butthead fan, but I will stand by the movie as being a work of genius. And Craig Sturgis, Power Glove, will back me up as far as the most remarkable thing about the Beavis and Butthead movie is that. There is the utter lack of character development. The fact that the movie happens around Beavis and Butthead and they don't change a bit. And
yeah,
it's just remarkable that he didn't accidentally make them learn something or grow. No, it's just, they just laugh at everything the entire time.
Well, one of the things they showed at Comic-Con was that they're basically sitting around and they're watching the Jersey Shore. And then they start making fun of the Jersey Shore as they're watching it. So it's going to be the same formula. I just don't know how many music videos there'll be because there's not a lot of music videos these days.
Gotcha. All right, Gifford, you're taking us home with your threesomes.
Okay, so my threesome is Halloween themed because it's my favorite holiday. I started listening, although I've been listening to them for a long time, started listening to a couple of Here Come the Mummies albums, and they are a fantastic funk band that's sort of dirty, and dirty they funk. Dress up like mummies, and they're awesome and funny. So, yeah, give them a listen. I also read the third in the Sandman Slim series by Richard Codrey called Aloha from Hell, which was fun and violent and dark. And
I like all those words.
Yeah, sort of disturbing, and I really Ooh. Enjoyed that as well.
You just sold me on a book.
Yeah, the first one. The first one's called Kill the Dead.
I'm still on board.
Wait, hold up. You're going to read a book? This is like a big deal. Like, don't gloss over this.
No, like...
He actually owns more than one book. I've seen it.
What?
I'll buy things, but it doesn't mean I'll actually use them, too.
Yeah, but all those new coloring books don't count.
You know, I'll read it next April when video games stop coming out.
Are you trolling just then?
What?
I think you just read trolling Gifford.
No. That's a compliment for me in books. So, like, when else am I? I'm not gonna read it right now.
I don't think Gifford
mega release fall.
Yeah, I complimented him by saying I'm interested in this book. But let's be realistic here. Even if I'm interested in a book, it has to take a back seat toward till when all these damn games stop coming out. Because look at the schedule through March is all I'm saying.
Yeah, excellent point. So last night, my fiance and I were talking about gender stereotypes in horror movies.
As is tradition.
Right, yeah, you get drunk and talk about gender stereotypes in horror movies. And she informed me that she had not seen the Alien series, which, you know, made me question my decision to ask her to marry me. And
that ring back, please.
I hope she's not in the room as you say.
No,
that.
She's downstairs and she listens. She'll listen to the podcast tomorrow. all those horrible night updates with the funny lines. Yeah, she's responsible for those. She tells Justin what's funny.
Cause I'm biased.
So, we're going to watch Alien. We haven't actually done it yet, but we're going to watch it because Lieutenant Ellen Ripley is a badass. And does not fit into the gender stereotype. And we named the best dog ever before Spencer was named after Ripley. So I'm excited to introduce her to Ridley Scott and Alien.
Nice.
She gets more badass as the movies go along, too. So you could probably make a case for watching
we're not
going
to discuss Alien 3
at once.
Okay? Don't bring up Alien 3. Just don't do it.
About Resurrection.
Resurrection's fine, but the gender stereotype shows up in Resurrection. She identifies with the monster.
That tangent is threatening an extra 30 minutes to this podcast, I think. So,
don't get me started. Alien movies, the Aliens series, and Batman, you'd be in trouble.
I'm just glad that after you watch this movie, you can move forward in your marriage with confidence. So,
yeah, absolutely.
We'd take care of business.
Well, you know. It's kind of like a prenup, I suppose.
And you can, after the movie, you can go back to the bedroom and play face hugger. Or pants burster.
Actually, it needs to go on the knot.com on their little checklist of things that need to happen before the wedding. Watch Alien together needs to go on there.
Well, if that's the case, then the knot should have had on there watch the prequels, because my wife hasn't seen the prequels yet.
Oh. What prequels?
What?
To the Holy Trilogy? Come on, Gifford.
Oh, watch the prequels?
No, he said not. He said the... Wait.
No, that she has not, and I think she needs to watch them.
No, don't ever...
No.
You guys are taking it the wrong way, because whether or not they're good or bad is irrelevant. It's the principle.
No. You should... I'm going to see if I can't, like, convince my kids that the Star Wars prequels don't exist, and neither do the extra Matrix movies. That's the world that I live in. So,
They can watch three.
Yes.
Can they watch the Star Wars Christmas special?
Don't exist.
I'm still laughing. I think that's it. Is that it?
Yeah, that's
it. That was kind of a tame. That was a tame threesome.
I think we ended okay. We did.
Happens when I get tired.
I think we spent it all on Castlevania Big Brother.
Absolutely. It's tough to top. That's really where we peaked. So hopefully some people got as big of a kick out of that as we did.
Peaked too early.
JP, thanks for jumping in here. And
anytime.
The Horrible Show will return with another episode next Wednesday. And then don't forget about our live show on Tuesday, November 8th. Yes, Tuesday, November 8th. And we will see you then. Later.
Goodbye.
1, 2. On the count.